Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, a few months ago we previewed the forthcoming release of the book In My Time by former Vice President Dick Cheney. But now we're actually starting to see a little bit about what's in there. He's going to be doing this whole series of media interviews like anybody does with a brand new book. That's highly anticipated. All the buzz right now is that he wrote this secret resignation letter in case he became incapacitated. But I think that the quote that has most conservatives licking their chops is, "This is going to make the heads of people in Washington explode." It's not usually the blurb you see on a political book, but hey, from Dick Cheney and what he's promised to settle some scores, I'm looking forward to that. I know some folks are a little bit nervous, including inside the Bush inner circle, about some conversations he's about to reveal, but he's basically leaving no stone unturned. And if Dick Cheney is as frank in this book as he has been in other interviews in recent years, this ought to be a real page-turner.
I'm just going to observe that anytime a vice president who has shot someone promises heads will be exploding, I'd be careful. He may always be literal about this. No, I mean, look, this, you know, Dick Cheney has never been someone to hold much back. So the idea of him laying it all out in no uncertain terms seems kind of, you know, Rumsfeld's book had certain this element. I think probably the all-time champion in this category, I think, was Bob Novak's autobiography. And I don't know, but you, this is what I like in an autobiography. I don't want to hear about how wonderful it was to work with everyone. Good. I'm glad ever you liked it. But give me the scoop. Give me the dirt. Let me know every moment of contention and you know, the drama and you know, the conflict and how they got resolved. And certainly sounds like this should be an interesting one. What jumped out of me in the early summaries, or stuff we're hearing about this, is that apparently last year, after Cheney had his latest heart issue, apparently he was unconscious for several months, which I'm trying to, you know, figure out when that occurred on the calendar. It's kind of fascinating, you know, that something could happen and we wouldn't hear anything about that. And the other kind of fascinating thing in the interview that's come out is that apparently while he was in this unconscious state, he says he had a very vivid dream that he was walking around an Italian villa looking to get newspapers. And I don't know whether there's symbolism there. I don't know. It almost sounds like something out of Inception or something like that. This idea of what's going on in Dick Cheney's head after all that he's seen and experienced in the vice presidency and all the controversy of the Bush administration, et cetera. So it'd be kind of fascinating if there's more of that in the book, kind of a glimpse inside the head of probably one of the most controversial and, I think, influential and perhaps decisive figures in modern U.S. political history. So I will definitely be getting that the day it comes out.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And, you know, some people may have wondered, why did President Bush, why did Secretary Rumsfeld and all these other people get their books out sooner? I think the answer, "I was unconscious for months," probably is a pretty good response to that. On to number two now, and Jim, fair is fair. We have been all over Democrats for how they have harassed their own constituents at town hall meetings, and unfortunately, the same is now true at least one town hall meeting for a Republican member of Congress. Steve Chabot represents Ohio's 1st Congressional District, served there for quite a few terms before being defeated in 2008, won the seat back in 2010. I got to say, I personally like Steve Chabot. I don't think anybody's done more in the last 20 years for pro-life causes than him. He's the author of the partial birth abortion ban and so forth. But at his town hall meeting, either he directly or members of his staff at his direction ordered the security to make sure that nobody was recording the event. And here's just a little bit of a snippet of a constituent who is trying to film the event at a public place in a little bit of a spat with a security official.
It's not against the law to film.
Yes, it is. That's what I've been told.
Why?
They don't want you filming in here.
Give me a reason.
To protect the identity of the constituents.
I have every right to film this. I have every right as a citizen to film my congressman in a public place.
They told you the cameras weren't permitted.
Well, they may have told them that, but I'm pretty sure at a public event with someone that works for you, you should be able to have your cameras in there. Jim, I don't know what prompted this. Maybe he thought he was going to be a YouTube sensation for some reason or another, but it just looks terrible, largely because it is terrible. And I think an explanation, if not an apology, ought to be forthcoming here.
Yeah, it was interesting. You bring this to my attention. Yesterday, I saw a report that Lou Barletta, a guy who represents kind of the northeast corner of Pennsylvania, one of the Republicans elected in 2010, was saying that he wasn't going to be holding any town hall meetings in the summer break. He had criticized the Democrat who preceded him, Ken Jorski, for not doing so. And so I'd be very disappointed to see Republicans not living up to the rhetoric of the campaign trail last year and not, you know, being a different kind of governorship. We can just hope this is a poorly informed staffer who has no familiarity with the Constitution whatsoever. I think it's safe to say that if you show up to question your congressman in a public place, you do not have a right of privacy. That if you're in a public place, you know, questioning your congressman, somebody's got a right to record that. And I don't understand why the complaint would be there. It sounds like kind of a fig leaf they're trying to hide behind or something. Very disappointing, and hopefully this will be a one-time error of a poorly informed staffer, because otherwise this would be a complete hypocrisy and complete abandonment of the values that drove Republicans to victory last year.
Exactly right. I mean, the issues that got them into office are the same issues out there now. They should feel comfortable being aggressive and assertive on these issues, because from our perspective, when it comes to spending and taxes and regulation and so forth, they're right. And so I think you can clearly make a compelling case.
Even if the crowds are hostile, you know, exactly. Like, look, your job, you know, you got to hear that. And some days it's not going to be fun. I was at a recent community association meeting in Yuppie Acres, Northern Virginia, recently, and there was, you know, a contentious issue being discussed, and I noted that some people on the board were there because they really wanted to find solutions, and some people were there, Greg, because they really liked to bang a little hammer, and, you know, but, order! And this was their whole routine, and I kind of felt like, and, you know, when my turn to speak came, like, look, we live in a world in which Little League umpires get cursed at. Okay, it's unfortunate. You know, and she's like, well, everyone's treating me so badly. Well, you know, you make a controversial decision, people are going to react. And if you cannot handle public scrutiny or public criticism, maybe you shouldn't be in that, you know, that position. So disappointing to see this from Republicans. Hopefully this is a one-off and they realize what's going wrong. Because, hey, guys, if you don't want to deal with this, don't run for re-election. Get out of office. You know, dealing with constituents is part of the job.
Yes. Yeah. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, as you said, you got to just have the discussions and be frank with them. And if they choose to record it, so be it. On to the crazy martini, martini number three now. And Jim, I don't know if you knew until yesterday who the most evil person in the world is, but apparently it's Anthony Prowell, who lives in Tucson, Arizona, because he has dared to throw his hat in the ring in the Democratic primary next year against Gabrielle Giffords, who we all know, of course, was tragically wounded, very seriously wounded, at the Congress on Your Corner event back in January. She's made a miraculous recovery, showed up to cast a vote in the debt ceiling debate. Mr. Prowell is, though, concerned that Congresswoman Giffords may not actually recover to the point where she can suitably serve her constituents. So he's trying to get on the ballot in the Democratic primary, and basically the Democrats are treating him as though he's slaughtered people or committed some sort of heinous crime, because they're any Democrat he calls on the phone looking for the slightest bit of support, he gets screamed at, hung up on, basically treated like a complete pariah. So now he's thinking about running on the Green Party. So obviously it's a little bit of a sensitive issue. I think most people in the district are going to give her the benefit of the doubt if she shows that she's pretty much at the point where she can competently do the job still. But to have this type of reaction to someone who's just genuinely concerned, it appears, about the ability to have these people represented in Congress, seems a little bit over the top, if not a lot over the top.
It is, and it's one of those things where we really, you know, it's a conflation of two things. We should feel sympathy for Gabrielle Giffords. She's been through this horrific ordeal. In almost any line of work, you'd want to say to somebody, take whatever time is necessary off to focus on your recuperation. You know, in the end, a vote or this issue or that issue is really kind of very minor compared to one's health and one's ability to function for the remainder of her life. So no one wants to tell her, Gabrielle Giffords, you got to get out. On the other hand, and it was wonderful to see her cast that vote on that package, but all in all, look, she hasn't been there for quite a few months, and this district has, for all intents and purposes, not been represented in Congress. Now that she's returned, we'll see how much she'll be able to continue to do her traditional duties. I find the talk of her running for Senate a little bit troubling, not so much because I don't, you know, obviously, look, she'd have enormous public sympathy, et cetera. But the idea of you know, she's in the middle of recuperation, let's push her into this, you know, even larger role seems a little bothersome to me. Ultimately, the decision will be hers and those around her, those who care most about her. I think this guy doesn't really deserve to be villainized. I mean, if a person decides, you know what, I'm okay with Gabrielle Giffords not being able to vote, I'm okay with her not being able to do everything a member of Congress traditionally does, okay, fine. You know, it's up to the vote. But at the very least, the people in that district should have the option. And my guess is that she probably would win the primary very, you know, pretty handily. So I'm not quite understand why having another name on the ballot is going to be ipso facto, some sort of great menace or crime or wrongdoing there. And I think it says something about the visceral and highly emotional reaction to a lot of things in politics these days.
Yeah, certainly does. I mean, we obviously wish her the best, but obviously going forward, they do need full-time representation in Congress. And if she can do that, I'm sure she will be reelected. If not, obviously somebody else probably needs to step up. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, a lot of time before primaries or general elections going to happen there. So, Jim, very interesting. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.